This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, back from Indianapolis, co-host of the Saints Block Party podcast, Adam West. Adam, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Mike, it's an honor, it's a pleasure you inviting me on. Thank you so much. Can still get my legs underneath me coming back from Indy. A very busy week being at the combine. But let's talk combine. Let's talk Saints.
All right, Adam. I talked to a couple friends of mine that did the personal interviews with the teams, and all three of them came away with one guy. They said, "Boy, was he impressive!" In the one-on-ones with the teams, and that was Tyler Booker, the offensive guard from Alabama. How he came across, how he loved the game. Two of the three did not scout the SEC, so that deal was, man, he's a lot bigger than I thought he was, and he can move for a big guy. He also did a little bit of work for him, a little extra work at the center position. You didn't get an opportunity to get those interviews, but who impressed you in the interview sessions that the players had with the media? Because as much as what you did out on that, jumping and lifting and everything else, which don't tell you a damn thing about if you can play ball or not, those interview sessions, teams pay a lot of attention to. But who caught your eye as somebody, man, that guy really impressed me, or a couple guys like that?
Right off the bat, Georgia's Jalen Walker, just a captivating personality. You know, his tape aside, just an engaging young man. And it's funny, because if you watch him play his tape, his personality, you can tell, like, he puts the switch on when he goes on Saturday when he's playing for Georgia. Just called himself a test piece on the football field, because I asked him what his favorite position is, because people don't know if he's going to play edge. People don't know if he's going to play off the ball linebacker. He said he's a chess piece. He's a football player. He likes that the opposing offense doesn't know where he's going to be. I lit up when talking to him at the podiums. Another player that really I got really engaged with, JTT, the edge rusher from Ohio State. We know the Saints have really kind of tied to that pipeline edge rusher with Jeff Ireland at the helm with college scouting, with the Ohio State pipeline. The JTT, the Ohio State edge rusher, was also very, very engaging. He's not a player that I would see them maybe, getting in the first round, but he's someone at pick 40 or the second round, if you were there, if they didn't go edge rush in the first round. Also someone very engaging, very captivating, that really was just an engaging individual young man that really, personality-wise, I could see how, going way back to 2014, I could see how Sean Payton fell in love with the Brandon Cooks at the combine. Sean Payton fell in love with him then, and they didn't meet with Brandon Cooks the rest of the entire draft process, and they traded up to drafted him. Being there, talking to these young prospects at a very short period of time, you see how these coaches fall in love with players with their interactions with them, meeting with them one-on-one.
Yeah, people say, oh, it's best man on the board. No, a lot of times the head coach gets involved. Man, I don't care what y'all got on that board. This is who I want. And they got some head coaches in this league. Adam, man, when they kind of hit the gavel, everybody listens, and Sean was one of those guys. You talked about Jalen Walker, and he was a favorite of mine. And I told this to Charlie when we did the mock draft. I had him penciled in before I did it, Saints. And then I got him going to Carolina right ahead, because I think in the 3-4 alignment, he would be a really good fit piece as an off-ball 3-4 edge rusher. When I look at the positions, we've talked a little bit about certainly tight end, got a lot of guys there. Defensive linemen, 24 of my top 75 are defensive linemen. But I think the most underrated spot, running back. And it's sort of devalued to a certain extent and still is. No matter if the Eagles won the Super Bowl or not, I think it's still devalued. And Ashton Jeanty, he'll be a top 10 pick. Somebody in that top 10 is going to pull the trigger on Ashton one way or another. I think it's what's going to happen afterwards. And it is a really deep crop of running backs. Is there a player or two, may not necessarily have to be a second-round pick or a third-round pick, but a guy in the middle of the draft you think could really help out this football team?
I feel like I'm Jeff Ireland talking right now, but the Ohio State, even though the Ohio State running backs, I'm a little more prone to Judkins. He's a little bigger. I also like Henderson as well, but I like Judkins. He's bigger. He's dynamic. One of my players I love the most in this draft, I would say my draft crushes, is the Texas running back, Blue. He to me is AK or Kamara in his prime, but with a jetpack, or very similar to Jamar Gibbs, that the Lions drafted 12 overall, and we've seen what he's been able to do in Detroit. He had a fumbling issue, but he ran a 4.3 at the combine, and I just love him as a player. We'll see if Jesse goes top 10. I think he should. I think he's one of the best players in the draft. I think he should easily go top 10. I've heard that this is such an insanely deep running back class. One of the deepest running back classes we've ever seen. My co-host Ryan Wolf loves RJ Harvey. We are able to talk to him at the Senior Bowl. He's extremely dynamic in his own right. It's kind of like this running back class is it's like ice cream. Mike, which flavor do you like? Yeah. Whichever one, it's going to be hard to pick the wrong one. And AK is getting older. Miller has not been able to stay healthy. So the Saints, we've talked about this on our show, they should really come out of this draft with two running backs, honestly.
Amen to that. I agree with you. The thing about RJ, it strikes me because he was a high school quarterback, in Florida. And I get sent all kind of tape because a school is recruiting him, but as a wide receiver. They were going to do to him what they did Trey Harris when he came out of high school here in Louisiana. They were going to move him from quarterback to receiver. He didn't want to play receiver. His deal was either play quarterback or play running back. He made the good choice. He played running back, even though he played a little bit of quarterback at Virginia. The guy for me is Woody Marks. From USC. Man,
I'm in Los Angeles, and I've seen a lot of Woody Marks. He's a spark plug.
He is a guy that can run with speed, with power, and he catches the ball so smoothly coming out of the backfield. So for me, if I'm looking at maybe as a late third round selection, Woody Marks would be it. And he has a lot of similarities. I'm not trying to compare him, but similarities to Alvin Kamara and what he can do on the field.
I'm going to give you another draft crush that I think that the Saints could potentially get round five, round six, that he's not getting a lot of publicity. And this, I went to Texas Tech for a couple of years. I was born and raised in Lubbock, Texas. Todd Brooks.
Yep.
I love Todd. I think he's a workhorse. He has a little Le'Veon Bell to his game. In terms of his patience, and he could be that kind of that workhorse back. And he does have he has speed. He's a good player. I don't think he's going to go very high. But if you want a later round back, I'm talking round five, round six. I love Todd Brooks from Texas Tech.
And he's got some versatility. You know, he can sort of kind of play across the board. Hold on a second, Adam. Charlie has a
real
question
quick,
for you.
Yeah, I wanted to hop in before we let you run, Adam. You know, Mike and I always say build through the strengths of the draft, and Mike already mentioned defensive line and running back, but it also feels like a pretty solid tight end class. You know, now I'm not saying we'll see what happens there with Tyler Warren, who Mike had mocked to the Saints at pick 9 initially, but also other guys like Colson Loveland from Michigan. Mike's a real big fan of Mason Taylor from LSU.
It is close between Colson and Tyler Warren. A lot of people didn't believe me when I first said it. It is tight between those two guys.
But, Adam, I wanted to get your thoughts on the tight end class just in general, you know, if the Saints should take one, because it seems like a position that they've kind of avoided for years now.
This tight end class is just like the running back class. I think it might be one of the deepest tight end classes, like, historically all time, and just how talented and deep it is. I just like I would say with the running back class, the Saints should try to find themselves taking two tight ends in this draft class. I can say I've heard that the Saints do really like Tyler Warren. That has come out a lot the last couple of weeks. I don't know if it's enough that they take him at 9. I do know they really like Tetaroa, McMillan as well. So that's going to be a very interesting debate come April, come next month, when if they're both on the board, because I think they probably both will be. The way I would see is that I don't love Warren as much as a lot of other people do. I think I feel he's more of like a lower first-round pick. I love Mason Taylor. I feel like Mason – and this I'm not an LSU fan. I want to put that out there. So this is not an LSU thing. This is not a Homer thing. But I feel like Mason Taylor could fit Kellen Moore's offense just like – Tyler Warren could, and you could probably potentially get him at 40 and go a different position at 9. But there's you have Colson Loveland, you have Gunter Helm from Texas, you have we talked to Bowling Green, I'm blanking on his name, Aaron Fanning from there are so many different players at the tight end position in this draft that you can get one, you can get two. And one thing about Kellen Moore's offense, and I kind of studied it when he became head coach and even beforehand, he runs a lot of 12 personnel, run running back, two tight ends. That gives a lot of scheme versatility of, is it going to be a pass? Is it going to be a run? And so he needs two good tight ends to really run what he wants to do. And I've heard that the Saints really want to add tight end to this team. So I do think they're going to really address it in the offseason.
Last question for you, Adam. There's always a player that drops that we think will go a little bit higher. Last year, Charlie and I talked about this. Depending on how the quarterbacks peeled off, it would be Brock Bowers. Sure as hell. Brock falls a little bit out of there.
Don't remind me, Mike. We were one pick away. They were going to draft him. If him and Fuwagwa were both on the board, they were going to
Yeah, so give me a guy, Adam, that you think that might be there at 9 that people aren't maybe saying he'll be there at 9. And would Shedeur Sanders be that guy?
Ooh, you're okay. I'll give you two players for your first player question. I'm going to go Will Johnson. And I'm going to go Mason Graham. The Will Johnson thing, I'm just going to go with. It's really going to depend on what he runs at his pro day. He's a bigger corner, and I heard this on the floor at the combine. Michigan is not going to put a glowing endorsement out for Will Graham, for Will Johnson, just in regards to how he kind of quote unquote quit on the team, whatever. His 40 time is going to be really important in terms of what his draft stock is going to be. I know the Saints really like him as a player. He might fall very similar to how Marshawn Lattimore fell.
I agree.
In that draft. So that's one player. Shedeur Sanders. If the Raiders don't get a veteran quarterback, whether that's a Sam Darnold or whoever in free agency, and he gets past 6, I think there's a chance that Shedeur could be there at 9.
Well, that would make things real interesting draft night when it would come to the 9th pick. Adam, hey, thanks so much for joining us. Man, listen, it's the first time you've come on with us, but I can assure you it won't be the last.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate you coming on with us. Great stuff.
Thank you, Mike. Really appreciate it, man. You have a good one.
All righty. Adam West does a great job covering the Saints for the Saints Block Party Podcast out in Los Angeles. And got a good beat on what's happening at the NFL Combine.